when Unknown No Longer went online last week at vahistorical.org, it included 500 more names than VHS anticipated being able to include at the launch.
In the 90s, we created a finding aid that described collections that were particularly rich in African-American history. And then a few years later, we updated it and put that information online.
Dr. Nelson Langford is Vice President for Programs at the Virginia Historical Society.
That information was just descriptions of collections. Unknown No Longer is qualitatively different because it starts with the individuals who are named in the documents.
There's a lot of digging to do.
We have something like 8 million processed manuscripts, so there's quite a bit of work to do. We're going through those manuscripts looking for names and biographical information on people who were enslaved in Virginia before the 1860s. And it is now available. If you go to the Virginia Historical Society's website, there's a button there that says Unknown No Longer. Click on that and you go to the database, and we've launched it with about 1,500 names. Now, this is just scratching the surface because there were 500,000 slaves in Virginia in 1860.
Dr. Langford said the database was put online as a work in progress.
And we'll be adding names all along. And you can imagine, with 8 million manuscripts, we have a long ways to go.
The manuscripts, he said, include letters, bonds, wills, deeds, court records, inventory lists, receipts, registers, and all kinds of other paper-based material in the VHS collections.
All kinds of documents generated in the early 1800s are fair game for us to look through to find the names of slaves. And when we find a name, each name gets its own record in the database.
Not many slaves kept records of lives that were lived in obscurity, but some did.
Some of the people who are in the database, there's just a name. We know very little about that person, except we know where the document was that was created when their name was added. Some people, we have family connections, we have occupation, we have the dates when they lived and where they lived. So we're starting by collecting the name of every person we can find in our records that was a slave and then adding any other biographical information that we can come up with.
Dr. Langford noted that the database also includes some 250 digital images.
There's something magical about this kind of history. We're extracting names from these obscure, dusty documents and putting those names on the internet so that they're accessible to anyone, whoever they are, whether they're an amateur historian, a genealogist, or a professional historian. And we don't know how people will use the information. That's another part of the magic, because we expect that there will be researchers who will have a eureka moment when they find that one sliver of information, that one name that makes a connection that they're looking for. And that's what's exciting about it. To me, it's part of the romance of history to think that we can reach back and reconstruct in a small way something of the lives of those people who are long gone.
Enslaved people, he concluded, who are unknown no longer. John Ogle, WCVE News.